Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM, Bama Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I take this opportunity to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob. Too deadly. Now, Rich Black Women podcast launches second season, digging deeper into First Nation women's perspective on financial well-being. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Larissa Jerome, host of the podcast, and talk about this space. I always say money's not everything, but I rank it right up there with oxygen. Money's a tool, you mob. And a very good morning, Larissa. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Sister, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yeah, so my name is Larissa Jerome, and I'm a proud Jadawa, Waka Waka, and Willy Willy woman.
Beautiful, deadly footprint. Now, we're talking about Rich Black Women podcast, that was what you host, launched a second season, digging deep into First Nation women's perspective on financial well-being. So we're talking financial intelligence, aren't we, Larissa?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, what it means to be rich in culture, spirit and mindset.
Yeah, fantastic. So let's talk about this space. Do you feel as though what we find in a lot of our Black people, men and women, more so women, getting into business now, like entrepreneurs, and it's about a financial vehicle. That's what a job or career is, a business is. But it's about getting financially intelligent, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And it's about, you know, that wealth generation as well, in creating wealth for our mob and our family and our community.
Yes. And all industries we're talking here as well. Like I said, money's a tool. We work for our whole life, 45 years of our life, for a pay packet. It's about getting the money working for you instead of you working for the money.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, tell us about some of the conversations that you had with our deadly Black sisters out there.
Yeah, so every single week for the next 9 weeks, we'll have a new guest on. Last week, we were joined by Gayala Bales, who's a model, poet, activist, and an actor. If you listen to the first episode, we talk so much about, you know, mindset, abundance, all of that stuff. And, you know, we're really amplifying the voices of all of our women that work in all different areas in their life. Just amplifying all of their voices and just listening to their lived experiences. And it's really, you know, just like a new age yarning circle where everybody can listen.
It becomes a educational platform, you know, like if you want what someone's got, simple, just do what they did. Well, here's a platform that converses, that has conversations, yarns about that space and about someone progressing in their life in the financial sense, so we can all take a page out of their book, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%. And, you know, a lot of us for our mob, you know, money is a resource. It's something that helps all of us within our community. So it's just about empowering all of our women to be able to take control of their financial future.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Great that as a platform. How long have you been hosting the podcast, Rich Black Women?
So the last season one, that came out mid last year at NAIDOC time. So we had the first season, which was really successful. So grateful to be able to host the second season, which obviously launched last week and will be continuing for the next couple of weeks.
And tell us the background for yourself in regarding starting a podcast as such and using this as a tool to reach out to our daily Black sisters.
Yeah, so through our program, the Indigenous Women's Financial Wellness Program, we do a lot of financial literacy education with women. We have a private Facebook group as well, which is just a network of all of us talking about our money matters as well. And then we also host, you know, monthly webinars and face-to-face workshops. So it was really good to be able to do something more just to make sure that, you know, all of these voices are being heard all across the country.
And do you have other hosts that join you on the podcast, or this you'd fly solo on this?
Yeah, solo on this one. Good. And then I have a special guest every week, which is so nice.
Yes. No, fantastic. And using the tools that are available here, we are in the 21st century, and podcasts, it's a tool that you're using to have conversations. And look, so very important, the information age, we are living in it, 21st century, but it's great for our people in this situation, our deadly black women, to engage in the conversations on your podcast. So congratulations there, my sister.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And how do people get involved in regard to the podcast?
So you can actually follow us on Instagram. So that's at Rich Black Women, Rich B-L-A-K Women, or you can listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Well, keep the yarns going strong, my sister. Good yarning with you. You take care. Keep smiling. And we'll yarn soon, sister.
Yes. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
You too. Bye, Larisha. Beautiful Yanda, Larisha Jerome, her name is, host of the podcast, Rich Black Women, and it's launching second season, digging deeper into First Nation women's perspective on financial well-being. So do check it out, your mob, Rich Black, that's B-L-A-K, Rich Black Women podcast, and get the information, get the yarns, and sit in on the podcast, your mob. Like I said, it's the information age, here we are, 21st century. Your mind's like a parachute, if it's not open, you're a cactus. Have an open mind, learn. We are students for life, your mob, and get financial intelligence. As I said, we work for a pay packet each week, 52 weeks in a year for 45 years. Well, get the money working for you instead of you working for the money. Get financially intelligent. It's a tool. Do, specialise yourself in that tool. Have you seen Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Take a look. My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416. Mouth of mother,
there's far too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. We have to find a way.
Find a way.
Bring some love in here today. With your love.
With your love. With your love.
With your love.
Everybody saying I'm wrong, cause they don't wanna speak about everything that we are. They trying to push it under the rug, but I'ma speak to these kids now, and I'ma show them some heart. Let them know what we come from, let them know what we stand on. This is Black Land, fam, let them know what my plans are. Red money, I let them know about my grandma, cause she born from the fire. Now that's the same one that y'all going up against now. Reconcile, we been waiting, but y'all been debating when y'all clueless to what the hell going on. Set the vibes here. Well, I'ma tell all of y'all what the time is. Damn, cuz, what's that? Oh, well, we got the show. Now that's live, I'ma build with the fams now. And I'ma speak where they fail your loss. And you Australia, y'all did wrong. 2020 gonna be the year that you turn it all around and you give it back. See, the bed's been burning, denying my purpose for far too long where that lie lurking. But, fam, it ain't just one, is it, cuz? Yo.
What's going on with your life?
Father, there's no need to escalate. War is not the answer. Only love will conquer hate.
And mother, everybody thinks we're wrong. But who are they to judge us when they going on,
baby, baby, baby,
with your love,
beautiful track there, Ruby and Fred and Richard Quaid. And that's my mob up there at Arab Island. And big shout out to all the Sailor Pit mob. Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother 045-714-0550. Don't forget our Facebook page by BBM987FM. Looking at the top stories in the news today, the Junket Jackpot, club bosses score Vegas trips from poker makies. So we're talking about club managers buying new poker machines, join educational tours on the US on the gaming company's tabs. So gaming machine manufacturers are shouting club managers educational tours to Las Vegas that feature cocktails, limousines, five-star hotels, basketball tickets, and slap-up seafood feasts in exchange for buying a minimum number of poker machines. So there it is. Business is good, you could say. Other stories here, the news here, SBS News. Blatant disrespect why this Australian label is facing backlash over LA Texas at a fashion show. That's Ella, and the design behind the garments and Melbourne Fashion Festival organisers have apologised for the offence and disrespect caused to the community, removing images of models on social media. An Australian high-end streetwear label is facing community backlash after featuring clothing printed with their Arabic word for God at the Melbourne Fashion Show. The brand Not a Man's Dream showcased two of its designs on Saturday in the final show of Melbourne Fashion Festival, which were resplendent with the Arab strip for Allah on their pieces. So one of the designs featured a model who was wrapped in what happened to be a sleeveless jumpsuit made of transparent fabric with Arabic script that read Allah with walks with me all over her body. So there it is, backlash happening for that launch. Other stories here, Jared Hayne, sexual assault begins in New South Wales District Court. Former NRL star Jared Hayne is alleged to have performed oral sex and digital penetrated a woman who said no and stopped, leaving her bleeding as a taxi waited for him outside the court, has been told. The former footy legend, 35, arrived at Sydney District Court on Monday morning as his sexual assault trial begins. Other stories here is the Daily Telegraph, a new feud between two of Sydney's biggest crime clans, the Alamedines and the Huruchas, two of the biggest names in Sydney's underworld who were formerly allies, are now in conflict and their leaders are both within reach of each other in Lebanon. Other news here, we've got the Oscars 2023 live updates from the ceremony. The Oscars are back. Join us for live coverage to the movie industry's big night. As the ceremony proceeds, entertainment reporters Alan Jemmerman, John Jurgensen, and Ashley Wong will keep you up to date on the night ceremony, the snubs, the surprises, and everything in between. So they're the headlines for the news today. Tell us what's happening in your neck of the woods. All eyes here, all ears here, all open for your yarns. Here on National Talk Black, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. This is your baldy one here, the Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Indian Country, BBM Bummer Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We have deadly relationships with QPS, Queensland Police Services. We do a Which Way Yarning program every Wednesday here at Bummer Bipper for National Talk Black. But we're going to catch up a yarn now because we've got the likes of Adrian Coolwell, who's a First Nation Employment Officer, QPS, and he brought a bodyguard, Kerry Johnson, Superintendent, Multicultural Affairs. Going to catch up a yarn with those two gentlemen come to join us and talk about their space and employment and career pathways with QPS. And a very good morning to you both, Adrian and Kerry, and also got Stephen Grant here as well. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. It's great to be here. And I'd just like to firstly start off by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we meet. And this is broadcast. Myself, I'm a proud Mananjali man on my dad's side from the Bow Desert area, and on my mum's side, Gurang Gurang people from the south central Queensland.
Yes.
So, you know, it's great to be here to speak to you about the opportunities that we have within the Queensland Police Service. There are many different opportunities for people within the QPS, such as sworn police officers, protective service officers, police liaison officers, and admin staff. So, my main focus is on mainstream police officers. So, we have the Indigenous Recruit Preparation Program that is run in Townsville over a 10-week period. That's something added to the mainstream course that gets our mob up to speed with when they go into the academy. They've got that 10-week course behind them, and they find themselves well ahead of the game once they get into the academy.
Adrian, how long have you been holding this job for?
This job, I've probably been in this position for about 6 years in this position, but I've been with the QPS now for 29,
okay,
coming up to 30 years. So I did start off as a PLO, which is...
Yes.
I was a PLO for 4 years. Then I changed over to be an assistant watchhouse officer, civilian, and I was the first assistant watchhouse officer in the state that's counting anyone, like mainstream. And, you know, working in watchhouses with our mob as well.
Yes.
You know, dealing with Murray Watch and all those types of people to let make them aware of who was in the watchhouse and what sort of medical conditions they might have had and to be aware of, because, as you know, with our mob, with you know, all they're a bit shy or ashamed to tell you, but you can normally get that information out of them, or you might know their relations, something like that.
Yeah,
it all helps, and we can you know, analyse that person, see what's wrong with them, and get their medical attention if needed.
Well, you're a prime example in regard to a career pathway with the QPS.
Yes.
Started as a police liaison officer, and now here you are as employment officer, for First Nation employment officer for QPS, and holding that for 6 odd years.
Yep.
Yeah, so exactly. So it's starting as a PLO. So there is a career pathway there.
Yeah, there is a career path. It doesn't matter, you know, and there's many opportunities, as I said before, not only with sworn officers, but there's also the opportunity to be, you know, further yourselves after about 3 years of leaving the academy. You can be in the specialist positions, detectives, you know, crime scene, water police, dog squad, all those types of mounted police. They're all opportunities. And, look, all of our mob, we know they have the Outback Squad as well, where they go out and investigate rural crime. All our mob, you know, a lot of them like to ride horses, ride motorbikes and all that sort of thing.
And that's another avenue as well.
Camping out underneath the stars is another avenue that people don't really know about.
No, and I didn't know about it now that you explained it. How are we looking in regard to QPS black employment?
Yep. Look, we're at the moment we have 4% out of, I think that's 12,000, so whatever the maths are there. But
sure,
And, you know, we want to increase that by, you know, as much as we can. The more black faces we can get in there, the better it is for our people, and the better it is for, the mainstream community to see, oh, you know, these people can do this job.
Exactly.
We can do this job.
And the gender, we're talking males and females.
Males and females, And look, the ages range from now, you can apply at 17, but you don't go to the academy till you're 18. But,
okay.
And we retire at 60 years of age. So there's plenty of room there for people that mightn't have completed year 12. If they've got 3 or more years of full-time or part-time paid employment, you know, those people that are tradies or something might want to change and get another job as a police officer or something like that. They've got life experience that they can mix in with the younger people.
Yes,
and
take them under the wing, so to speak. Yeah,
take them under their wing, and
exactly,
and that can work the other opposite way with all the computer technology showing the younger blokes, the older blokes.
Yeah, so that's right. I've got my 15-year-old teach me how to send an email.
So you know, there's always opportunities. So I'll just run through the requirements.
Please.
So you've got to be 17 years to apply, 18, 18 years to go to the academy, completed year 12. If you haven't completed year 12, 3 or more years of full-time or part-time paid employment, equivalent to 38 hours per week. Be fit and healthy. Have no serious traffic history or criminal criminal history. So there's some of the things that you require. But as you go on, it's important to, release any information, or not information, but let the when you do your application, make sure you tell everything that you've done.
Sure, all
your
cards on the table.
Out there, and that's all I want to see, that you're telling the truth.
Sure.
Because if you leave something out, they'll say, oh, they're trying to hide something, and that's when the questions will start coming.
Well, let me ask you the question. If there is, you know, we've got a background and something happened when I was young and a little black mark against my name, still apply?
Yeah, still apply. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Look, there's all that stuff with juveniles and things like that. That can be... we have a team in the integrity team that'll look at that and they'll say, "Oh, yeah, that's fine." That's,
what have you done since? What have you done to better that?
Yeah, to better that, and they'll look at all the history that you've got. They'll look at your last 10 years of where you've lived. They'll want details of that, and then make sure that you know you haven't been around the wrong crowd and things like that. It just it's just something that. Is very it's as I said, there's opportunities everywhere.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing there, Adrian. I'll bring Kerry Johnson into the conversation, Superintendent Multicultural Affairs. Kerry, very good morning. How you going, brother?
Good, thanks, Shane. Good, thank you, Trevor.
Yeah, fantastic. Well. And give a bit of background, who your mob, where you from, or where do you stem from, my brother?
Oh, mine's a bit of a complex story. So, and I discussed it one of the early times with Brother Steve here.
Yeah.
When we're out in Western Queensland together. So my family, my First Nations heritage comes in through, my family were at Julia Creek.
Okay. So Murray from the Curry, we're neighbours.
Yep, could be.
That means I can borrow money off you, brother.
That's what I'm our country, but... Yeah. But
how you holding?
But so out of that, though, we're still working on that sort of process to find out where, because when you think about it, there were stockmen, they were drovers
ringers.
And so on.
Yes,
My bloodline could come from anywhere, from Fitzroy Crossing.
Yeah, gotcha.
So
fruit salad.
Still working through that.
Okay,
and a lot of what you said then, what Adrian said about Western Queensland, so before I joined the police, and a lot of people, even First Nations people in general, tend to think that police, you've got to be born of it. I have no family that are police. I was a roo shooter at Roma before I joined the police.
Yes.
For about 3.5 years, was mucking around with that with my brother, and then joined up, and then also served out west a couple of different times, once with Steve, but then previously as a young detective. So, and I spent probably 30-odd years as a detective in my career so far.
There you go. So there is a beautiful foundation, a platform for our black people to look at a career pathways with the QPS. Yeah,
definitely. And I think a couple of things, and it's sort of funny because Adrian didn't mention it, but it's his other part of his life is sporting. It's a great job to be in if you are cricket, football, soccer, whatever it might be. Mm. It is a very forgiving job for that type of career. It's very much encouraged and always has been.
Okay, good.
So, and that's where a lot of and we went up to the Mackay Murray Carnival. My cousin got best forward of the carnival.
Chuck that in there.
Yeah, he did. I thought I'd throw it in for Jack. So when you see that, there's all those sorts of opportunities. We hover around there, and we do get a lot of inquiries, and, you know, it might be a job for everyone, but it's a job with a whole lot of little jobs that sit in there. So it's a good opportunity. And when you do go through as to whether you want to return to country or whether you want to return to nearby, there's a lot of leeway and latitude that we can work into that, so...
What about the relationship between First Nation staff dealing with the non-Indigenous staff with the police?
Well, I've got to tell you, so part of our job is that cultural capability in our own organisation. There's those other functions like community liaisons and that sort of stuff, PLO liaison, TIPSO liaison and so on. We have a lot of different roles that we play, but our own internal culture, it's something that I can say in the past we haven't got right, and that's largely based on the belief that, you know, the police is its own culture. Well, it's not. The police is a job.
Sure.
The culture is the people that are in it.
Exactly.
For my own belief, and I speak for me when I say that, and I know people around me can agree, can't agree, but the reality is when you look at the best thing that we can do for our own culture, the more First Nations people we have in different roles is the best way for our non-First Nations police to learn about culture,
sure,
to understand
exactly.
it, to have a better tolerance, to realise what they say, those little...
Remarks.
Remarks, the canteen culture, the microaggressions, whatever you want to say. And, like, we can't control what goes on around people's dinner tables and so on, but the reality is when you come to our organisation, there is a standard.
Sure.
And it's a great place to learn, you know, how to tolerate and how to get along.
And that's both parties, black and white.
Of course it is. And also our multicultural, which is the other part of my,
sure.
my workforce.
Yes.
The multicultural, which is so complex, Trevor. Like, we have, realistically, if you'd said to me, what is our Afghan population in Queensland 2 years ago, it would be rather small. Then all of a sudden, nearly overnight, there was 1,000 persons that come in.
Yeah.
So where we've got the PLO space, we tend to quite often think First Nations with PLO.
Sure.
But then there's
First Nations for Japanese or Afghanistan or Chinese or whatever.
Chinese,
yes.
And
yes.
Indian. There's so many different areas our PLOs have to be able to culturally bridge those gaps for us. So it's a very complex space.
Fantastic. And bring Brother Steve into the conversation, police liaison officer with Edmonton Police and part of the Which Way Yarning program. Always here with Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay. He's not with us at the moment, so we can talk about him. And how are you going, Brother Steve?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you, brother?
Yeah, good, brother. Good, good. So you're travelling with the big knobs, with your two seniors here.
Yes.
Being a tour guide, so to speak, are you?
That's right, just to show them a bit about Cairns and what's it all about. And
And they can pick up your lunch today.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. I can't something. Hang out with you, my brother, today.
No, it's good to have my colleagues here from Brisbane to express their voice.
Yeah.
Today's session.
Yes.
Where they actually come from, and hopefully that my colleague here, Uncle Adrian, will come back here more often with his recruiting process.
Yes.
And it also gives the superintendent to have a good look around the areas of Far North Queensland.
Exactly.
And
thank you for bringing them into this program. As I said, we've been doing this program now for about 7-odd years. It's a deadly tool. All our mob in the community bring in and yarn and add to the conversation. And but it just also breaks down that barrier, so to speak, if there is a barrier there. When us mob see that uniform, that blue uniform, we may think in a negative connotation, but not the case. Here we are, our black fellas, we're in that blue uniform, our black sisters and brothers, you know, and just shows you a career pathway, a job as it is, you know. But if you're doing something you love and you're passionate about, then you won't work a day in your life, yeah? Right, Kerry?
I've got to say, Trevor, even my unit in itself, you know, the inspector there, she's of Torres Strait origin. One of my senior sergeants is up around, where's Nigel Cloncurry, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Up that way as well, yeah.
Okay.
Southeast Queensland, Uncle Adrian's, of course, Bow Desert area and Gladstone area, the Mamajale and Gungahn. But when you look at that, like, it gives a great opportunity for us to almost cross-pollinate as well in an environment where you can ask questions and feel quite safe to sort of to see what's going on and how different people work and how different people are and different families and so on. So,
sure. Yeah, exactly.
Great opportunity.
No, fantastic opportunity. You were talking earlier there, Brother Adrian, as a First Nation Employment Officer, QPS, got to be 17 to apply, but 18 you go into the academy. But like I said, age 25, 29, and you think, like, I want to look at a career pathway with Queensland Police. Well, you're not too old, are you?
No, you're never too old. And look, we've had people join at age 52, 53.
Yeah.
And do something that they wanted to do but didn't think they had, you know, the right balance for for that. But then they want to do something for their community and for their people and probably a lot for their kids as well, you know, just to see that, oh, you know, if you want to be a police officer, you can do it at this age, you can do it at younger ages. But it's all part of a learning curve for a lot of the young blokes that come in. So I actually spoke to a young bloke yesterday. I met up with him at the where we're staying, and he was very interested in the police. So he's only 17, but he wanted to find... That's what you've got to do. You've got to find out then. So what he had to wear, his English and maths... His English was good. His maths wasn't real good, but his English was.
Sure.
And I said, well, this is the time but you ask those questions, so then you can work on that for later on when you do come into the police service. So.
And you're not locked in there. I mean, there's 45-year-olds out there who don't know what they want to do with their life.
Yeah.
So you can test it, trial it, and run with it after a couple of years, whether or not it's for you or not, you know what I mean? Go and see them, so to speak.
It's always there. And, you know, if people want to get in contact with me, I'll just give you my number. It's 0437 164 948. That's 0437 164 948.
So black on black, give the brother a call. Give brother Adrian a call. Adrian Coolwell, First Nation Employment Officer. You got his number there with the QPS, and just ask about the career pathway. What can I do and what I've done and how do I go about it?
I'm here, and look, that goes for any other organisations. Black organisations that are out there that are listening, and they want me to come along to their careers days or anything like that.
Okay,
just give me a call or send me an email, you know, I'm always there to. And as the commissioner just said only a half an hour ago, he said we want Adrian out to all the communities.
Beautiful. So there you go.
I've got to go.
You don't mind the yarn, do you?
No, I don't mind the yarn.
I have to let you know, I'm the host here, cuss. Just slow down there a bit. And brother Kerry, when you look at that, it's just a fantastic opportunity, and doors can open up for individuals, can't it?
Very much. We're talking before about ages, so you look at Laurie, so Gamalu man, he came in at 48 or so when he joined up. And the crazy thing about that, Trevor, is that so his job with us, mandatory retirement at this stage, is 60. That may change like other states into the future. But at 60, what you look at, you think, only 12 years. But I can tell you now, there's already been a number of community incidents that he's been able to deconflict really quite quickly, even just as a constable of police.
Sure.
But he's sent alongside of assistant commissioners and bringing a community around to get back to the table and discuss and talk. Because no matter what happens in a policing space, there's always conflict. There's conflict at some stage, no matter how well we do our job.
Any job workplace.
And so his relationships were built in the good times that carry us through. And so people like Laurie is just one of our many First Nations police, and like Adrian, that and he's not sworn, but he's already deconflicted things that we talk about off air. And, you know, so there's a definite value in it.
Excellent, beautiful. Well, good yarning with you both. Thank you very much for coming in. Now, you're both based in Brisbane, is that right?
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah, both of you. So thank you for coming up to far north Queensland. They call us hillbillies up here, but, you know, we do drive around in cars. We're not on horse and carts, you know. It is the 21st century. And Brother Stephen there, Grant there, PLO, laughing up strong there. But I've seen you ride that horse there too, my brother. But, look, good yarning with you both. Thank you very much for coming in. Please do keep in touch. This is a deadly program. I'm singing to the choir here. And we have Deadly Yarns here, and it's a good bridge builder for QPS with the community. Yeah. To Deadly. And Stevie Grant, you want to say something?
Just a shout-out to the mob there in Cherbourg. Inspector Scott Stallett's up here with Mayor Sando. He's currently in Cairns for the Indigenous Mayors Conference today. And just a big shout-out to the mob in Cherbourg.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. All the best, and we'll yarn soon, hey?
Yep.
Too Deadly.
Thank you.
Beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue, and that's Adrian Coolwell, our First Nation Employment Officer, QPES, and also Kerry Johnson, Superintendent, Multicultural Affairs, and Police Liaison Service, Stephen Grant, with which we're yarning your mob. Stay tuned, add to the conversation. National Talk Black, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
See you.
Yeah, Deli Track there. Love a lover, Black Image. Big shout out, Black Image, based up there at Hopewell. And Hopewell brothers and cousins there. Been running Black Image now for a while. And Deli Tracks. And a big shout out to your mob there. Would you wait? This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. And coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Comes a time where Trendy Trev signs off for today's program. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow, your mob. Thank you for your company. I love delivering the program. It is your program. It is your ship. I'm just steering it. That's all I'm doing. But look, always add to the conversation. Murray, sign off here. We'll be yarning soon. Got the news coming up via NERS, National Israeli Service. Big shout out to the NERS team as well. And thank you for your company, Mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.